You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, as well as WRRJ, 89.7 FM, Coco Beach, and Cape Canaveral.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast. We want to thank you for listening. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 15 today. We're not going to read everything that we've been reading for the past several days. But we're going to get down into verse number 12, cover some new ground today. We do want to invite you out to our vintage service this coming Wednesday. It'll be a little bit different. Our piano player is away for a few weeks, but we're just going to go ahead, get back into it. And it'll be a little bit different for a few Wednesdays, but we're excited to be back. So Acts chapter 15, verse number 12. I do want to remind you about the free video Bible school. If you have any questions about that, it meets tonight in our fellowship hall from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. as far as I know. And if not, they'll have a sign on the door saying that they're not there. But if you're interested, you don't have to wait for a semester to start or anything like that. You can just jump right in and start the lessons where they are. They do them in short little segments. So that will be tonight from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And just wanted to let you know about that. We're going to get right into the word today. Acts chapter 15, verse number 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered and said, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this the word of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things." Let me stop the reading there for just a moment, because one of the things that captivated my attention as I was studying this passage was the number of people who spoke up and had something to say that helped the leadership come to a decision that would glorify God and it would encourage and equip these new believers. I do want to say this. When you knelt at an altar and you said a prayer, and it is true that when Jesus comes into your heart and is the Lord of your life, he writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God for that. That's not the end of the matter. That is the beginning of the discipleship process. I know that here in Brevard County, sometimes that word has a negative connotation to it because of some misuses or abuses that took place in the past. And I want you to know that just because somebody abused a term does not mean that there isn't a legitimate use for the term. Every child of God should be, as one of my missionary friends says it, a follower of Jesus Christ. And the reason that he came up with that term or somebody came up with that term was because in the culture that he ministered to, Christianity is defined in that culture by what they see on television and in the movies And in their understanding, America is a Christian nation. And so whenever they see a whole lot of abuses going on, they just assume that that is the way that Christians behave. And so he did not go in there and say, I am a Christian. He went in and said, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. The longer we live, the more of a follower of Jesus Christ we should become. The better follower of Jesus Christ that we should become. It is because Paul was such a good follower of Jesus that he was able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. What happens now is there's a lot of celebrity status, a lot of Christian celebrities or Christian star power, and they say, follow me because I'm famous. Follow me because I wrote a book. Follow me because you saw me on television. There's a lot of that following. Paul didn't use any of those measures as his credentials for encouraging people to follow him. He says, follow me as I follow Jesus. Now, I've done a study on this radio program about what the principle of submission is. And submission literally means under mission. So I've got a mission, and I should be under somebody else's mission. I'm a pastor of the church, but I have authorities over me. And so God is the ultimate authority. Then there are people who are over me. And then there's me, and then there's people who are under me. And before I can be an effective leader to those who are under me, I have to be an effective follower of those who are over me. And as long as they're lining up with God, everything is okay. Now, here's where our society misidentifies rebellion, and that is this. Anytime a society moves out from under God's mission to another mission, whether it is a mission to be famous, be a world power, set up their own standards of morality. Anytime somebody moves out from underneath that, they want to say, okay, now if you're not following me, if you're not submitting to me, then you're in rebellion. And that's not the case. Actually, whenever a society moves out, we would be doing them a disservice if we just went along and said, wait a minute, you're not lining up. This machine is not calibrated correctly. I had a vehicle that broke down, and it would run and then it would just stop. And there were probably some people in Melbourne that weren't real happy with my vehicle one day because it stopped during rush hour in a very busy intersection. And I was like, seriously, it was just running just a moment. And my mechanic, he looked at it while I was away, and a dear friend of mine, tremendous brother in Christ. And he called me and he said, what has gone south on that is something known as a position sensor, a crank position sensor. And even though there may be something that was going or that was functioning properly, the sensor said, wait a minute, something is out of line. The sensor didn't have enough sense to know that it was the problem. And so whenever it sensed that something was out of alignment, it killed the engine. It shut itself down. And the problem wasn't with what was underneath it, what it was detecting. The problem was the sensor itself had gone bad. Right now, we are in a society that is trying to redefine morality, trying to redefine what is good, what is trying to redefine what is bad. And I want you to know that we have got to follow the church's mindset, and that is this. Whether it is right to obey you or to obey God, you've got to decide that. But as for us, we're going to continue to walk humbly before our God, to walk in holiness, and we are going to be light. We are going to be people of love. And we are going to represent the truth, not from an arrogant or an audacious standpoint. We are going to speak the truth in love. whenever people hear a statement like this, they think it is a harsh statement. They think that it is a cruel statement. They think that it is because whenever the person making this statement is, they don't know anybody who's battling a certain social issue or whatever. They think that we're ignorant about the challenges. And I want you to know that if that's what you think, you would be mistaken. You would be mistaken. I've told you on this radio program before, I know people who've battled marital unfaithfulness. I know people who have battled alcoholism. I know people who have been addicted to cigarettes. I know people who've been addicted to drugs. I know people who have been very successful in the world business-wise, but had challenges elsewhere. I know people who have struggled sexually. I know people who have struggled homosexually. I know just about any spectrum of the social issues that you may want to bring up. I have relationship with somebody in that may be battling that issue. And so it's not because I'm ignorant or unaware or detached from those people. It's actually because I love them that I tell them what the Word of God says. I don't do it in a mean, harsh, judgmental manner. I preach the truth the same way that I told my kids, hey, don't play in the street. There was a time when we told our children, hey, you need to go and take care of this, because if you don't, somebody is going to steal it. And they didn't take care of it, and somebody stole it. That somebody was me. And so we went and we talked to them and said, hey, you got to go out and you got to deal with this, because if you don't, somebody's going to steal it. And they said, somebody already did. And it's like, you know, that was us. That was us. But the reason that we said that, because where we lived, we had a lawnmower that broke down, the transmission shut down. You couldn't roll it. You couldn't put it in gear. You couldn't carry it. It was a riding lawnmower. And normally we kept it in a secure place, but that night the transmission went out on it and we didn't have any way of getting it to a secure location. And the next morning I walked out and it was gone. So we had seen things stolen before. And so we tried to prepare them and say, hey, you need to take care of this. It wasn't because we were being mean. We wanted to teach them to appreciate the things that God had provided for them. I don't really know how I got all the way onto that, but let's get back into this passage here. What I was talking about earlier was the number of different people who were speaking into this matter. Peter spoke, Barnabas spoke, Paul spoke, James spoke, and last of all, it talks about that the prophet spoke and that God spoke. You see, there are a lot of people who are enamored with their own voice. You may think that is me because I have this radio program. You might think that I love to just share my opinion. In actuality, by nature, I am an introvert. I can be very comfortable just slipping into a room and melting into the background and just observing people. It is one of my favorite pastimes, is just to watch people, because I find people absolutely fascinating. So that by nature, that's who I am. So whenever I am in a new environment, in a new meeting, a lot of times I will simply go in there first to do a lot of listening. I want to establish relationship. I like to earn the privilege to speak to a situation. And the way that I do that is to build relationship. And so this was not a one-sided conversation. If in your household, the only person who is able to speak is the husband, then you need to work on that dynamic. If the only person who is able to speak in a situation is the wife, then you need to work on that dynamic. If everything is dictated by what the kids desire and what the kids want, then there's definitely a dynamic that needs to work, to be worked on in that environment. Listen, you've been given two ears and one mouth. It says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. There were people who were proclaiming, and Peter says, if we're going to address this concern, I just want to go back and I want to touch on what we have already been through before. Peter stopped talking, and Barnabas and Paul begin declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Like I've said on another program, God is not retired. He is still in the miracle working business. I truly believe that. And so one of the greatest things that can ever happen to your faith is to be surrounded by people who can testify to what God is doing. What God is doing. Because if you know that God is doing that someplace else, you have the ability to believe that God can move on your behalf as well. One of the reasons that I'm still at Merit Assembly of God after all of these years is because God made us promises, and I'm still believing for those promises to come true. I recently ran across a person that I know, and they were talking about promises that God had made to them, and that even though the promise or the fulfillment of that promise came in a manner that was different than what they thought it was going to come, they have actually seen the fulfillment of those promises. And so I've got some promises of God that go back decades. They go back a couple of decades. I've got a friend or an acquaintance of mine that testifies that there was a dream that God had in him, and it took 25 years for that dream to become a reality. When it came time to sit down and draw the plans for the dream to come to pass, when the fulfillment was ready to be put on paper, he said it literally took me a matter of minutes, because for 25 years I had been believing for the promise to come to pass. When I hear stuff like that, it stokes my faith. There's things right now that I keep them before my eyes, promises that I keep before my eyes. There is exciting things going on in our ministry. While I was away, we had our largest attendance of boys on our Wednesday night group that we have had. Our girls' ministry had done pretty well, but our boys had struggled. And so normally there's a couple of us men that are in there, and the week that I'm gone, it ballooned up to I think something like eight boys just all of a sudden on a Wednesday night. And so I haven't talked to our commander as of right now, but anyway, all of a sudden there's a lot of boys that are going on, and they're getting ministered to, and I was rejoicing. Praise God. God can do things in a suddenly moment. You and I, we think it's going to take decades, but I'm telling you, God can do miracles in just a fraction of the time you might think. So there were all of these things. Barnabas and Paul are talking about the miracles, and then James speaks up and he says, listen to what I have to say. And he begins to recount how Simon Peter had declared how God had at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And this is the important thing that James has to say. Listen to what he has to say. And with this, the words of the prophets agree. What he says is the thing that Peter mentioned earlier lines up with the Word of God. One of the reasons there is so much confusion in America right now is because people do not know what the Word of God says, and they are trying to equate popular opinion and political opinion polls with what is right and what is wrong. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's wrong. And so James says, look, what Peter has said lines up with the Word of God. Listen to what the prophets have to say. It says, after this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. I was in the hospital recently visiting, and there was a nurse that was in there, and she was doing something with the patient that was in the bed. She was also typing on the computer, and they had some sort of automatic device where phone calls could be forwarded to her wherever she was on the floor. And so she's working on the computer, taking care of the patient, and addressing a situation on the phone all at the same time. And I said, wow, you are really good. And she said, that's multitasking. That's multitasking. What I want you to know is that God is not just good at the salvation business. He is good at the government business. He is good at the healing business. He is good at the salvation business. He is good at the relationship business. He is good in agriculture. He is the one who is the creator. He's the architect. He is a strategist. He is a warrior king. He rules and reigns in righteousness. He rules and reigns. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He does all these things. He does them all well. He is the judge. He is the lawgiver. He is the king. You name it, God is good. He is the counselor, the father. He is good at all those things. He is good at construction. He says, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. Several years ago, we took our boys, and this goes back a long ways. We took our boys on a camp out to a Royal Ranger event. By the way, I'll say this about our Royal Ranger ministry and our girls' ministries. If you're looking for a godly environment where standards have not been compromised and people can be trained up in the ways of God in a safe environment that lines up with the Word of God, we want to encourage you to bring your boys and girls out on Wednesday night to our boys and girls ministry. It's not a super large group. We break it down into as small groups as possible. That way the kids get the best attention that they can. It's age appropriate, and it's working out very well. They have a really good time. But we had taken our boys on this camp out. A really horrible storm came in, and their tent fell over on them in the middle of the night. It was just a violent storm. It was really, really wet. But God says, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. And he says, and I will set it up. Here's the reason: so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. And I know we've talked about this before, but I want to remind you again that you are a walking billboard for God. What God does in your life should be of such high visibility. He wants to work in your life in such a high quality manner that it's going to cause other people to want to seek his face, cause other people to want to know him, so that they can experience the same salvation, healing, and comfort that God has provided for you and for me. It does not end with us. If it ends with us, what we're going to become is we're going to become the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has nothing flowing out of it. It has all sorts of things flowing into it, and it just it becomes a lifeless place simply because it doesn't have an outlet. You are meant to touch other people with the love of Jesus Christ. I'm meant to do that. It's what I exist to do. I want my marriage to reflect the goodness of God. I want my parenting skills to reflect the goodness of God. I want my pastoring to reflect the glory of God. I want my finances to reflect the glory of God. I want everything that I can to operate with the favor of God, because I want people who are struggling in that area to seek God and receive the same blessings that I have. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name. You see, it is when we respond to the call and we say, you know what? I'm no longer living for the glory of Bob. I'm living for the glory of Jesus. I'm living for the glory of Jesus. Haven't shared this, but I will share it now. While I was in Tulsa, I was greatly privileged to be able to spend a little bit of time on a couple of days with the pastor that I grew up under. He's got a birthday that's coming up here in a few weeks, and he'll be 90 years old. It was completely unexpected. We were having my parents' anniversary celebration, and in he walked. And always counted an honor, because even though he's getting ready to turn 90, everything he did was for the glory of God. He built a great church in Hong Kong after he retired from the church that I grew up in, which in between there was another church that he ministered at. And I've got a friend of mine, and he actually served on staff with him at that church and went on, and that guy has become a pastor. And you know, everything that he's done in his life, even now, it's not for notoriety and fame for himself. It is because he knows that there were people in Illinois, people in Georgia, people in Oklahoma, people in the military, people in Missouri, people in China that needed to know Jesus Christ. And he said, God's going to call a people out of all of those places for the glory of his name. And you know what happened as a result of living for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ? Back in 1985, when they did an article on him, for every year that he had served in the ministry, there was somebody who had been called into the ministry. He was averaging one disciple a year who was reaching somebody else for the glory of God. Let's be a people called out for the glory of Jesus' name. God says he's the one who will do all these. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."